Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Next week begins the Triodion, which is a sign that we are approaching Great Lent. Every year when we hear the reading from Luke's Gospel about Zacchaeus, we are being prepared for the opening of the Triodion and our approaching Great Lent. What can we say about Zacchaeus besides his being short and being a chief tax collector? By the way, this term, chief tax collector, archipelonis, appears nowhere else in Greek literature up to this time. It's an interesting term. So he's a chief tax collector. He's short. What else can we say? Those who read Father Alexander Schmemann's book, Great Lent, know that he speaks about Zacchaeus' desire. So what can we say in addition to this? Or what can we add to this?
He repents immediately.
Well, he repents immediately. How do we know that? By the way, in this particular reading, there is no mention of the word repentance. There is no signal that Jesus calls Zacchaeus to repent. There is no utterance from Zacchaeus that he repents. We know that there is a change in his life because at the end of this pericope, at the end of this reading, he tells Jesus that if he has defrauded, if he has stolen anything, he restores it fourfold. What can we say about Zacchaeus? He has this desire, and this desire is authentic. And how do we know it's authentic?
Because he makes this huge effort.
What?
He makes this huge effort. He climbs the tree, puts
he climbs
himself
the tree.
For duration.
This is even, if we look at this carefully, I mean, this is quite a comical scene, no? This short man, this tax collector, making his way to the crowd. In order to catch a glimpse of Jesus, and for him to do that, he has to climb a tree. So this desire is authentic. And this desire is also not only on the part of Zacchaeus, but we can see also that there's a desire on the part of Jesus. Jesus is coming into the world for what reason?
To save the lost.
He desires to save the lost. He desires to offer us, as he offers Zacchaeus, what? Salvation. Today, salvation has come to your house. You are a son of Abraham. I am coming into your house. I need a place to stay, at least for the night. Salvation is in your midst, Zacchaeus, but not only in your midst, in the midst of all those who are with you, those who are below you, those who are on the ground. Salvation has come to us. And in order for us to enjoy the salvation, to enter into the reality of the salvation, there has to be repentance. And here's where we see, in the case of Zacchaeus, that his desire is a desire not just to see the Lord, but to be with him. And in order to be with him, his life changes. His life changes. The same applies to us. The gospel begins with repent, change. Change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But what do we know about repentance? First of all, it's not easy. We are to change our mind. We are to change how we see and perceive people and things. How we see ourselves has to be changed. But in this change, what also occurs? A change in ourselves, a change in how we see others, but also what is often overlooked is that there is a change on the part of those we are with. There can be a change on the part of those we love. and who, up to this point, the point of repentance, loved us. Sometimes the change is painful, because those we love and who we thought loved us and who indeed loved us cease to do so. There is a change from that perspective. There is a change amongst those around us who can even become offended by our inward change, who can become offended by our new life in Christ. There are those whose relationship with us and our relationship with them, sadly, tragically, unfortunately, ceases because of this process of repentance. Repentance is not something neutral, just like sin is not something neutral. Sin is not something private. It's not a private affair. It affects the entire environment, the entire cosmos. Likewise, repentance, even an inward, quiet, invisible repentance, is not private. It affects not only us, but it affects the environment. It affects the cosmos. And therefore, as we hear about Zacchaeus' desire and the desire of God in and through his Son coming into the world to take on our sin and our death, in knowing this desire on the part of God, where to cultivate a desire, but a desire that prepares us not only for our own change, but for a change of those who will be, who are around us. And that change can be extremely difficult. That change can even leave us lonely, alone. We are abandoned because of this changing of our minds, because of our repentance, because of our desire to be with the one who with great desire desires to be with us. So brothers and sisters, as we begin to hear more about Great Lent, as we begin to enter, we are at the threshold of entering the period of preparation before Lent. We have to keep in mind that this school of repentance is extremely serious. It's not just a routine. And this is often the trap we fall into. Everything we do, because we are such a formalistic church, our church is inundated, saturated with form. The form can become an end. On the contrary, for us, the form must be an expression of who we are, of who we desire to be. And when we can go beyond the form and make the form an expression of who we are, then that process of change, the process of new and eternal life, becomes tangible, becomes real, becomes something that never ends. Amen.